Division. There is much division in the country today. There's division, and I'm not talking about 4 divided by 2. I'm not talking about math division. I'm talking about division among people. Sometimes elections bring out divisions. It can be an election in a church. It can be an election in a school. It can be an election in a country. But it brings out division. And division can cause separation. And sometimes it comes to the point that you must choose. You have to pick a side. You may not want to pick a side, but sometimes it's forced upon you and it can be painful. You see in the public discourse where people are even trying to recommend that there be separation from family when people don't 100% agree. Basically, they want you to take on their views, and if you don't take on their views, they're going to separate themselves from you. If you don't include their views, they're not going to include yours. And so there's this separation, and it's a dangerous thing, the separation, but it's something that maybe we should come to accept. Some, they seem to achieve inclusion, they enact separation. It doesn't seem to make sense. Your opinion may not, they may not allow or value your opinion unless you agree to theirs. It seems the opposite of what they're asking for. You don't have the freedom to choose what you choose. You have to choose what they want you to choose. Not too far back, you might remember the statement, silence is violence. You're not allowed to disagree without paying some kind of penalty. But if we look in the scripture, Jesus talks about some of this and gives us some context. So we're going to turn in our Bibles in 2 places. First, we're going to be in a couple passages in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Corinthians, one of the books of Corinthians. First, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 36. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 36. The scripture will be up on the screen for those of you that might be using your Google Translate. You could put your point your phone up at the screen, and it will translate, give you a rough translation of the scripture, so that it can help. So let's read together Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 36. 32 through 36. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father, we're going to continue. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Might have been a surprising scripture for you to see in there in the verse that says, verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The Prince of Peace, but he says, I come to bring a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her father-in-law. Basically saying that at some point, if you are following Christ, it may be even family that opposes your Christianity, They oppose your views. They may say if you don't agree with them that they will move you away from them. But we have a choice we must make. We must decide, are we choosing God or the world? Are we choosing God or family? Hopefully you don't have to make that choice, but if you do, Scripture is fairly clear, we must choose Christ. Some try to abandon maybe you because you would not sacrifice your beliefs in what the Bible says and accept theirs. They don't want you to even to only hear their view. They want you to accept and embrace their view, which is in contradiction to Scripture. And that can be very harsh. But for some, it is extremely harsh. There are some in Islam that will kill their own family for converting to Christianity. And they might think they might be doing them a favor. But it is clear that when it comes right down to it, we spoke to you a few weeks ago about people seeking truth. They're not seeking God's truth, they're seeking their own truth. And if your own truth is not consistent with God, then it's not truth at all. And so you cannot, as a Christian, abide in a truth that is not God's truth. We are to be faithful to God. But that does not leave us destitute and without family. In Matthew 12, we want to turn and look at verses 46 through 50. Matthew 12, 46 through 50. And in this case, it says, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. This is Jesus' mother and his half-brothers wanting to speak with him. Verse 47 says, then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my brother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. You may have been in church settings where they will say, sister so-and-so, or brother so-and-so. Could be sister Juanita or brother John. It's because we're part of the family of God. Those that are following and not following God will try to get between you and God. They become tools of the devil to try to get you to agree with what they are saying. The most obvious thing in today's world is around the things of gender. They want you to call them something that you know they are not. They want you to call them something that it goes against Scripture. They want you to embrace their truth when it's encounter to God's truth. And Scripture is clear, you can't do that. You must continue to love them. And you show them their love, and they might act out even more. But I must be faithful to God first. There's a scripture that says that I will follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And so we must follow and not condone the sin that they're in. But we must love them. And so then we bring that context then as we look even within the church and how it structures in this course of division. We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. And as we read this, in chapter 5 in 1 Corinthians, there were beliefs at that time that what we do in the body is separate than what we do with our spirit, and that the spirit and the body are separate. And so that would allow them to do whatever they would like to do. And in Scripture we find that they're not, that our body is to be the temple of the Lord. And we believe in a bodily resurrection. It does matter what we do with our bodies. Our bodies aren't one thing and our spirit something different. Yes, there are two parts, but of the whole. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexual immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or adulterers, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an adulterer or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. What have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. There's much to consume in there, but it plays into some of the division where we are dividing even churches today. Because churches have chosen the things of this world over the things of God. People will say God is a God of love, and which He is. But there is also sin in the world, and God does not allow us to continue in sin. We should repent, meaning change towards Christ. If there were not sin in the world, Jesus would not have to have come and died, but he did. And so we should not be continuing in sin. And we can find that throughout Scripture. So some want to say God is love and not take on the rest of the attributes of God, which is justice, which is truth. He does have expectations on how we are to behave. We should present ourselves as Christ would have us live our lives and his expectations. And in Scripture, we find many places where there is activity that he does not permit, activity of the body that is not permitted. And here in this passage of Scripture, he speaks of the sexual immorality. And he speaks there of a church that is celebrating and puffed up and maybe even arrogant. It would seem that they are so inclusive, and we have churches and denominations that want to include all kinds of sinful behavior to demonstrate their lovingness or their inclusiveness. But in doing so, they do two things. They both condone sin, and then they also embrace the untruth of things. There are two genders, they're male and female. That's it. And to embrace something different is to go against God's truth. And so you would have to lie against God's truth and embrace something that is not there. We must follow God in His truth, not ours. And my views may not agree with you, but if my views are of God, your disagreement is not with me, but your disagreement is with God. When I preach to you, I might preach to you things that you do not like, but if you do not like them, your problem is not with me. Your problem is with God. I am accountable to preach His word. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, they seem to have been rejoicing. Verse 6 says, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" Leaven in the Scripture is a depiction of sin. And you put a little bit of the leaven in, a little bit of the sin, it leavens the whole lump. The whole bread is now leaven. And so now it contains sin. And sin can come in and it grows as a cancer grows. And so we do not want to give place to the devil for those kinds of things. And so he cautions them here not to rejoice about those that are embracing sexual immorality, that you are involving them. In verse 9, we go in a little bit different, but you will notice there, I want to call out in verse 3, this phrase. Let's go to the verse 3 of chapter 5. "For I indeed, as absent in a body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present." People will say, "Don't judge me." They don't understand that scripture. You see, Paul here says he judged. We are not to condemn is more consistent with that scripture. Judge not that you be not judged. With the way that you are judging, you will be judged. We're not to condemn other people, but also it's basically saying the way you judge people is the way you will be judged. But throughout Scripture, we are to judge what is right, what is wrong. And here, even those that are in the church, we are to judge if they're consistent with God's word or not. So we come back to verse 9. "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people." But they were confused when he wrote that to them the first time. So he makes it a little clearer. Because he says, I'm not asking you to come out of the world, just like Jesus did not ask the disciples to come out of the world. But what he's saying here is, do not permit the sexual immoral to be counted as part of the body of Christ. Do not condone it. Do not allow them going around saying, "Listen, I'm a Christian. I'm part of the church. I'm a member of the church," when they are violating God's will. He notes different sins, adulterers. He talks about drunkards, covetousness, but it includes the sexual immoral. They say they are followers of Christ, but they blatantly disregard portions of His scriptures. It's saying to remove them from their status. If they are a member of the church, to remove them from their membership. Because you send a message to those in the body that is not permitted. This is not godly behavior. But if you allow it, you're sending a message to society that your worldliness and ungodliness is permitted. You're preaching a gospel that's not consistent with God's word. You're spreading the heresies because you have allowed it. And we see that happening. Churches have condoned it, and then people continue in their sins. It may be the sin of homosexuality. It may be the sins that are going around with multiple partners. It may be the sin of living together, not being a husband and wife, but pretending you are and want everybody to be okay with it. Certain things are wrong in Scripture. God expects better behavior. And when we condone them in the house of God, then those outside think it's okay. We do not help the cause. We allow them to continue in their sin. Verse 12 says, "For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." We should expect those outside the church to be doing sinful things. We need to love them. We don't have to say what they're doing is right. We don't have to condone what they're doing, but we need to love them. We can't expect them to behave like Christians. But I don't have to say that what they're doing is okay. They want me to say that, but I can't say that. But certainly in the church, we do not have to allow the sin to continue, and we are not to allow it to continue. If you were to look into the book of Revelations, we're not going to look there today. The warnings are there about the churches, the seven churches, that they were permitting false doctrines. And they were permitting doctrines that maybe even on this realm of separation of body and spirit, doing whatever people wanting to do. So in the church, there is an expectation that we follow God's word. In the world, when we follow God's word, there will be people that will push us aside and maybe persecute us or make fun of us. They may fit of Jesus. Some have even died for the cause of Christ and for their Christianity. We can think of Columbine and some of those places where the shooter asked the student, "Do you believe in God?" And when the answer was yes, they shot him. But in the world, we can't expect them to follow. But even your own family will try to possibly get you to say their truth. And in saying their truth, you have to violate God's truth. It's very unfortunate and it's very painful, but I would rather be aligned with the Word of God and part of the family of God, because God is my first. And even if family is drawing me aside, and some have said that even Jesus' family thought he was nuts or confused or what was he doing, they didn't follow him right off. They didn't understand what he was doing. But you are not alone. The divisions are stirring up, and your faith might be challenged. Am I doing the right thing? Because even my family says I'm wrong or disagrees, and they're holding time with me hostage even. We see it in the news. If you didn't vote a certain way, people are saying don't even go to your family events anymore. And trying to be inclusive, they're preaching separation. But we should be faithful at all costs to God. Continue in love of these people, but do not If you're following God's word, do not allow them to undermine your confidence in God and your confidence in God's truth. You are part of a family. You're part of the family of God. And you have brothers and sisters in Christ. And they can help strengthen you. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Let's be standing together. Let us pray. Lord, we live in a very difficult time, it seems, but it's not unlike other times. And for what seems difficult to us, we are not in danger of our lives. Some listening to this online in some country might be in danger. But Lord, you are faithful. If you are our Lord, then we should follow you at all cost. And Lord, we pray that whatever that cost is, that we would be faithful. As you took up the cross and were crucified, may we take up our cross. And even though we might feel emotionally crucified, may we count it, dear Lord, as something that is worth it for our love of you. May we be encouraged, dear Lord. Give us a sweet peace and a sweet love for those that are living outside. Help us to know how to deal with those confrontations. But bring us a comfort, I pray, that we might know that we serve a blessed God, a sweet Holy Spirit, that understands. Jesus, you know how you were despised and spat on, and your disciples abandoned you. But Father, we are not alone. Jesus, you had said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. May your Holy Spirit envelop us, encourage us, and may we celebrate your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.